You guys ready? Okay, let's go. First of all, my name is Amanda Silver. I'm on the Visual Studio team. I'm the Director of Program Management for all of the tools for client applications. What that means is basically if you're building an app that targets Windows or Windows Phone or, the client portion of a web application, that's basically my team. So we work on the XAML designer, the HTML designer, JavaScript and TypeScript are also on my team, and then this tools for Apache Cordova is also on my team as well. So now we are also targeting iOS and Android with our tools, and that's kind of what I'll show you today. I apologize to the people who were attempting to come to the previous session, which was canceled, but I'm actually very thankful that that session was canceled because it took about a half an hour for us to set up all the devices that I'm going to use during this session. I'm going to end up debugging and deploying to different devices, and I even have a Mac here, which will be used a little bit later in the session as well. So there's a lot going on. I think this storyline kind of follows on the storyline that you saw from the keynotes yesterday. What we're really talking about here is mobile apps in the cloud. And so what you'll see here, yes, is client applications, but all good client applications are connected client applications. So it's not just that they are authored and they just run locally. That's kind of, 1995 to think that way, right? They aren't just client-server applications either. They actually connect to services that are hosted in the cloud, and you're actually going to end up using the cloud to actually develop your app as well. So I'll talk about all of that today. Now, big question. Why would you want to kind of use native development for all of these devices versus the web? And so one of the big things, obviously, if you're targeting Windows and you have existing development assets, continue to use those things. They are going to continue to work, and for Windows, they are awesome. And then in addition, as you heard about, I think last November, we kind of came out with the partnership with Xamarin. You actually, if you're a C# developer and you want to be able to target iOS and Android as well, then you can use Xamarin to be able to do that. Now, there are some advantages to going with a Xamarin or C#-like solution. Number one is that you'll be able to target the UI of the native platform. So while you can write the business logic in Xamarin and in C#, if you really need to create a tailored, optimized experience for that device, then you probably want to go with a solution that allows you to target that native UI platform. Now, HTML, there are a lot of people who just have been web developers over the last couple of years. We've been working on great tooling in Visual Studio for JavaScript, and most recently we came out with TypeScript. How many of you guys have taken a look at TypeScript? A few? Okay. So we're going to use TypeScript in this demo today, but what I'm going to show you, I'm going to use TypeScript, but you could also use JavaScript for it as well. And these apps are ready for LOB apps and cloud modernization. So the question now is, how can I take my HTML assets and my skill set for HTML and JavaScript and TypeScript and kind of bring it to cross-platform? Now, this is perfect for when you don't need to optimize for the absolute tailored experience. You're kind of targeting a drop-off, a large breadth of devices. So it's really perfect for that kind of BYOD environment in the enterprise where you can't predict all of the devices that you need to be able to support, but you know that you have maybe six or seven that are kind of your top target devices, and then they kind of drop off. Now, the thing about targeting all these devices is, yes, there are kind of three major operating systems that you have to think about, but you also end up having to think about the different versions of those operating systems, all of the different form factors for the devices that people could be using. And so it ends up being quite a large breadth of devices that you have to use. So we announced yesterday the Visual Studio tools for Apache Cordova. How many of you guys have heard of Apache Cordova before? Actually, a fair number of you. So for those who haven't heard of Cordova, let me give you just a super brief overview of what Cordova is. It's basically a platform abstraction layer that is a set of device APIs that allow a mobile app to take advantage of native capabilities. So it's for things like that you want to write in your app that aren't necessarily exposed to the browser just yet, or the browser is kind of still catching on. So you can think about this as things like geolocation, or camera capabilities, or video, or you can even write your own custom plugins. So you could write something that does a barcode scanner. There's actually a wide variety of plugins that are available online. And you'll see kind of how we can use them in my demo in a minute. And then you can also, you know, obviously for the UI portion and the business logic portion of your application, you can use just your standard web frameworks, no modification required at all. You can just kind of bring those in. And then you basically can just write the rest of your app just as you would with a normal web application. Now, I think I'm going to, oh, actually, I have one more slide. So in terms of the end-to-end workflow, there are lots of steps in kind of building your hybrid mobile application, from creating a new project to managing the device capabilities. That's basically where you want to choose which capabilities you want to expose on in your application. The service capabilities, that's kind of the back end. What's the back end of your application? Editing code, editing and styling UI, building and running, debugging and diagnosing. One of the things that you'll see here is that we actually have debugging and diagnostic features for Android devices now. iOS is still in the works. We don't have that today in the current preview, but it's something that that we're working on. And then I'm even going to take you to the end of the application lifecycle, to the point where you can publish your app within your enterprise, and then use Application Insights to get some insight into how your app is actually being used in the wild. Before we get to the demo, there's one kind of step zero that I just want to give you guys context for. So that's the acquisition experience. Now, how many of you guys have downloaded this thing yet? Nobody? Okay. So I hope that after this, all of you guys will go and check out the CTP and download it. But one of the things to kind of call out here, so first of all, this ships on top of Visual Studio 2013. So this is not some preview release of a future version of Visual Studio. This is an extension on top of the Visual Studio that you guys have today that we just RTM'd the spring update for. Now, number two, this capability, because it is cross-platform and it takes a dependency on open source, this is kind of a first for Microsoft in a lot of ways. We have such a deep dependency on so many open source frameworks and so many kind of platform pieces that we don't actually ship as Microsoft, that there's actually a lot of kind of setup and configuration that's required. And while we have a good installer that will install all of these bits for you, those things also rev independently. And so it might be that when they rev independently, we need to reissue the CTP to kind of catch up. So that means that in some cases, the CTP might not do setup perfectly for you guys. This is still absolutely alpha. And if you get into trouble, there's a 50-page step-by-step guide in terms of how you set up the configuration. Obviously, making sure that your dev box is in a good state is kind of one of the value props that we bring, and so it's something that we're going to continue to work on. I just want to let you guys know that it might not absolutely work perfectly when you try to set it up, and if so, then you know kind of what you need to go and get. So with that, I am going to jump back to demo. Okay. Didn't check for that. Great. Okay. So now the rest of the talk is going to be all demo. Okay. So this is just Visual Studio with that installer set up. Now, these bits are so screaming hot. They actually were built on Friday. And if you look at some of the dependencies that I have in this app, they were actually only published yesterday. And I used the versions that were published yesterday. So this is screaming hot. And I just want to let you know that there will be some failures probably during this demo. Now, first thing, in terms of templates, we have basically two additional templates here. We have the JavaScript template for multi-device hybrid applications, and then we have a TypeScript template for multi-device hybrid applications. Now, one of the things that about working with open source is that not everything always works perfectly on the target platform. So one of the things that we found is that when you use Cordova on Windows, you can't have a space in the name or else it won't work on all of the platforms, in the project name, or it won't work on all of the platforms. So that's one of the reasons why we kind of deploy to this you know, C colon kind of blank Cordova app right here. But we will submit that back to the Cordova project, and hopefully it will be fixed in the next version. So now what I'm going to do is basically just create this application. Now, first thing that you'll see here is the start page, and this will give you some context on kind of how to build this application. The next thing that you'll notice is kind of the project structure. So there are a few things to kind of notice about the project structure. First of all, we have this merges folder. Now, the merges folder is something that you may or may not use. It is, the idea here is that when build happens, if there's something that you have to do that's custom for a particular platform, because it doesn't, you know, that platform is unique, that merges folder basically merges the content of that and kind of compiles it into the target build when it's building for that particular platform. Now, how many of you guys have targeted universal apps for Windows Phone and Windows, or have seen the demos for that? It's kind of similar to the notion of shared projects, where you can actually have a shared project in your solution folder, and then the contents that's in there, the code that's in there, will get compiled to both applications. Now, the other thing to kind of notice here is the config.xml file. So the config.xml file is very similar to the app manifest file for Windows Store and Windows Phone applications. How many of you guys have done Windows Store and Windows Phone application development? A few? Okay. And the other thing that I'm not going to go in here is that is a plugins folder. So when you add a plugin, it will add a plugins folder into the project template, and then you'll see all of the plugins that are in there as well. So what I'm going to do now is just copy over some kind of basic CSS images and script to kind of start to build out my project. So I'm going to copy this in and click yes. Then I'm just going to copy in some images and copy in some scripts. Now, what I have in here are frameworks and typings. So in terms of frameworks, let me put that there. And typings, let me put that there. So in terms of the scripts, so frameworks. For my application, I'm choosing to use Backbone Bootstrap, jQuery, and then the menu capability in jQuery and underscore.js. But these are unadulterated versions of those libraries. I haven't done made any modifications to make them work in this context. You could also use Angular. We actually have a couple of samples online. So if you look at, let me just go here. We have three samples. We have a sample that has, you know, Backbone, kind of the basics for what I'm using for this app. We have an Angular sample, and then we also have a WinJS-based sample. So you can kind of take a look at all of those and see how those are being used. In terms of typings, so the project itself comes with some typings for the Cordova plugins that are common. Now, Cordova so TypeScript typings basically give you a great IntelliSense experience when you're creating, when you're writing code in TypeScript against, you know, whatever API the typings are provided for. So in this case, this is for the Cordova, you know, APIs that are exposed. And then we also have the typings for Azure, Backbone, jQuery, and Underscore, so those libraries that I used in that context. Okay. Next thing we're going to do is just basically F5. So the first thing that you'll see up here is that in the debug and Android, in the debug menu and the build menu, we actually have additional platforms. So these are all the platforms that I can now target. So how many of you guys have seen that in Visual Studio before? No? It's kind of exciting to see. It's cool that we can target so many things. When I choose a particular platform, you can then see all of the targets for that particular platform. So in this case, I could target the device, which I have here and I will use later. I can target the Android emulator, which is running on my machine right now, or I can use Ripple, which is, Ripple is basically a browser-based simulator that's part of the Apache Cordova project that I can just go ahead and F5 to. And this basically runs in Chrome. I chose that, but I didn't F5. Let me choose the Galaxy, actually. So this is basically a simulated environment for your application. Now, one of the things that you can see while we're building this is the output for the Cordova command line. Now, we have matched the Cordova project kind of very faithfully, and rather than building our own build system to build Cordova applications, we've basically used the Cordova CLI, which is the command line interface for its build process. We've just done some optimizations to make sure that it works very well in the Visual Studio context, but it's basically the same thing. Now, what you see here is just what looks like a normal emulator simulator. There are some menus on the side that allow you to do things like set events or, you know, change the config for it or change the orientation, other things like that. So that's kind of the basic tour of what Ripple is. And then you can target different devices in here even after you've deployed it. So I could change this right now to target iPhone 5, for example. And now you see it in the iPhone 5 context. Or I could change it to target the iPad. Now you see it in the iPad context. So it's a really easy way to kind of see if your layout works across these different form factors. So now I'm going to stop that. And then I'm going to start building the rest of my app. Now, one of the things that we launched yesterday, and this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about super hot bits, is the Office 365 API tools. This is, again, a preview, CTP, very hot bits. I think at the SharePoint conference earlier this year, was that February? Who went? March? Thank you. At that time, we launched the Office 365 API. And basically what that is a set of RESTful services that allow you to get access to your Exchange information, your calendaring information, doc information, things like that. What we've done yesterday is we've basically created wrappers around those RESTful services so that they're much easier to use in the context of a mobile application. And then in addition to that, we did integration into Visual Studio that I'll show you right now that makes it kind of much easier to use in this context. So what I'm going to do is go back to Visual Studio. I'm going to go add and then go to connected service. How many of you guys have ever seen that add connected service before? Anybody? Okay. So get familiar with that, because that's going to be the way that we're going to continue to expose a bunch of services in the context of Visual Studio. Now I'm going to sign in. I'm going to use a different account. I'm going to use Amanda S at woodgroveclaims.onmicrosoft.com. And my password. Now, what this does is it queries the cloud to see what capabilities are exposed to that particular user. And this is just using what's available in Office 365. I'm going to choose the calendar. And then for that, I'm going to basically configure what permissions this application needs. So I'm going to allow this application to read the user's calendar and apply it. And then I'm going to press OK. Now, the next thing that this thing does is it basically adds a bunch of JavaScript capabilities that are these enterprise client libraries that make it easier to do things like auth and offline and other things like that using this API, but for your mobile application. So it added a bunch of code. Specifically, what it added is this office365.js thing. It also added this settings.js file. So what this does is it basically associates this application that I'm working on with the Office 365 API so that it knows when I make this query from this client, it actually is this particular client that is kind of posting back. Okay. So next thing I'm going to do is copy in some additional code. There's a lot of code to write in a single experience. So let me just close some of this and copy in the index. I'm going to replace that, and I'll show you what that does in just a second. And then in terms of scripts, I'm going to copy in the main view. And again, we'll do a tour of this in just a second. And the index. And I'm overwriting that. So in terms of the index, basically what this does, let me just zoom in a little bit. Can you guys see? Basically what this does is it just is calling all of the references to the JavaScript frameworks that I've already used, and then it's going to call in the O365 APIs that were acquired through the CSM. That's kind of what we call the Connected Services Manager, that little wizard that I showed you a minute ago. And then it's going to add references to all of the scripts that we use. Now, in terms of the scripts themselves, in terms of the main view, you can kind of think about this as the host container for the application. So this is using the backbone view. And basically, this is just a very simple controller that kind of does the application logic for loading various pages and things like that. It's kind of like a host that does fragment loading for your single page application. And then in terms of index.ts, this is kind of where the magic happens. So in terms of using zoom in one more time. In terms of using the Office API, again, you can see that this is how I use the token. I basically call auth.getIDToken and then call the HTTPS outlook.office365.com. And then I take that token and via the promise pattern, I basically, if that call is successful. How many of you guys have used promises before? Okay. For those of you who haven't, it's kind of the way that asynchronous calls are made in modern JavaScript today. It's a fairly common JavaScript pattern in very many JavaScript frameworks, including jQuery, Dojo, and WinJS for that matter. So the way that it works is when you make a call, when that call returns, then you call then. It basically, that then is what happens when that asynchronous call returns with a successful result. I then call the result, I call on the result of the return the next thing that's in the then. So if the call to get ID token worked, then I'm going to call dot then, and then I'm going to pass in the token, and then pass the auth token and the login model and set it. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is just F5 to Ripple again. I'm Now this is still building. And this is running in the Nexus Galaxy. And now you see that because I loaded all of those images, I loaded the JavaScript framework, and now I have the Office authentication, I actually have a pretty basic login page here. Now, this sign-in page, when I launch a sign-in in this context, what this does is it's going to launch an in-app browser. If I was on a device, and you'll see this a little bit later, this would basically launch another tab on the device. Because we're in Ripple, it launches another tab in Ripple. So this is woodgroveclaims.onmicrosoft.com, and then pass in. Okay, now what this next page is going to do, once it authenticates, is it's going to query me to give permissions, the calendar permissions that you saw in Visual Studio, the same ones that I granted to the app. It now needs to ask the end user if the end user is okay with giving this app access to those permissions. So now that I've signed in, it's going to request that this app can read my calendar. I'm going to press OK. And once that works, this will take just a minute, we'll see that we have login success. And now we're going to start building the rest of the application. But I think what you see with that, really the code that I wrote that was specific to the Office 365 API, I showed you all of it. So you basically can start to do authentication as well as sign in for your application using Office 365 with really just a very few number of lines of code. So now I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to start to integrate the calendar. Okay, so here I have a little bit of code to copy. I'm going to go into the step-by-step. I'm going to replace the index again. And once I do all of this, I will show you the code that we added. I'm going to add the calendar information, which is basically gives me the calendar view. I'm going to add the helpers.ts file, which basically all helpers does is it does some date formatting, so I'm not going to show you that very much. Then I'm going to add the index file again, and I'll show you this as well. This will actually just repop up. And the main view. And again, in terms of the main view, all I'm really doing is just changing what ends up getting loaded. So now we can go to the calendar.ts file and zoom in again, provided that my mouse is connecting. Oof. There we are. Okay. Let me look for TechEd. Okay, so now in terms of creating the Exchange client and being able to connect to that particular Exchange client and calling the calendaring information, all I'm doing is saying this.exchange and then new exchange.client. So this is not, you know, the very, very long Microsoft namespaces that you guys have probably seen in a lot of the frameworks that you've used before. What we're trying to do here is to reflect what people commonly, different design patterns that people commonly use in JavaScript libraries. So we're really going for short names here. That's why you see Exchange client. And then what I'm doing is I'm calling, I'm getting the OData, and then I'm getting the access token from what I've already used in the Woodgrove application. And then the next thing I'm going to do is for that particular Exchange calendar, and then I'm going to log in as me, so this is using that same authentication token, I'm going to fetch, I'm going to get that calendar. So fetch is basically the way that I end up calling that calendar. And then this is, again, that promise pattern. So if that fetch is successful, so if I use that authentication token, I call Exchange to get that calendar, and that returns me with a successful result via fetch, which means, you know, go get it for me. Then I can use that promise pattern again to operate on the calendar. And for each appointment in the calendar, I'm just going to basically add a new element into my page. Let's see. And I think now we are ready to F5 into the Android emulator this time. So the Android emulator is something that just comes with the Android SDK, which is part of the CTP package that we installed as part of this recently launched tool. And instead, what I'm going to do here is launch it to the Android emulator. Now, this is an ARM emulator running on top of Visual Studio, running on Windows, which is a 64-bit operating system. So this can take a little bit of time, so please bear with me. But what we should see in just a minute is that the app ends up getting deployed, and then I'll be able to log in. And then you'll see from the context here that that when I do that login and it asks again for that calendar permissions for this particular app, it does it in the context of the device. So now this is launching the application here. There's a splash screen, pretty basic splash screen. Now, one of the things that you'll see here is that we're actually connecting the DOM Explorer. So as I mentioned earlier, we have actual debugging capability kind of built into the Android device using the ADB, the Android debug protocol. Uh-oh, connection to the server was unsuccessful. Let's try this one more time. If this doesn't work, we will go to an Android device later, so you will see the app actually working in that context. Like I said, these bits are super, super hot, and I expected some failures. That's number one. Hopefully that's all we'll tally. So we know the app is deploying. We know the DOM is connecting. It might be a matter of the office service not connecting, but we shall see soon. There we are. Huh. You know, in computer, yeah, when you're programming, like, the machine is supposed to work consistently, right? And so trying the same thing over again, not supposed to give you different behavior, but sometimes it does. Okay, now I'm going to log in, and so what you're seeing here is that I get the, additional browser page that's kind of popping up. So woodgroveclaims.onmicrosoft.com, and then you guys will be able to see my password. Hopefully nobody will abuse that. And we're signing in. And now what it's going to do is to ask me for permissions for this context once it gets back from the server. And again, this is an Android ARM-based emulator running in the context of x64, so it is a little bit slow. But now what you see is it can read my calendar's information. I'm going to press OK. And then it's actually going to start to populate that calendar for me. Now this is the UI that I authored, but now what it's doing is it's calling Exchange to get back my appointments. And hopefully in just a second, we will start to see these appear. It doesn't seem to be working. Let's try it on the emulator. One of the things that's actually kind of cool, since we're here, is If you see, I can use this DOM Explorer now to select various elements. So I can use this, and it actually selects the element in this context, and I can start to look at the DOM Explorer as well as kind of, you know, all of the style sheets, the computed and layout and things like that that are kind of making making it look the way that it does. So that works across not just into the Ripple context, but also into the emulator and even on the device. So I think we're done with the emulator today. We're not going to try that again. Let's try to use it in the context of Ripple. See if this works. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I used the same, his question was, I used the same credentials for both Visual Studio as well as, you know, what I used in the application. And could the user end up using different credentials? And the answer is absolutely. So now what we're going to see is this actually logs in. And rather than using the tablet, let's use the Galaxy so I can see it in a little bit more context. Maybe I didn't use the right credentials, I wonder. I do have appointments set up, so that's a challenge. Let's see. Should be working. Oh, I wonder if I just need to build clean and then rebuild. Okay, let's hope this works. Now, one of the things that this build process is doing, you see this plugman.fetch? What that's doing is it's basically getting all of the plugins that I'm going to use for this application. Let's try this one more time. And if not, we're going to revert back to an earlier state and kind of rebuild it again and hopefully get it to that point. So we're definitely connected, but I'm still not getting any events. Okay. Yes, so the app absolutely has to be connected online. Okay, let's see. I have the next steps as well, so let me just bring that up, and then some of these things are replaced again. Let me just copy these over one more time, just to make sure that I have everything working. Okay. Let's try this one more time. And if this doesn't work, then we're going to move on, and I'll show you other aspects of the experience here. Doesn't look like it's working yet. That's okay. We will start to build the rest out of the application. So now what we're going to do is to go into add the navigation and debugging experience, and I'll show you some of the debugging experience, hopefully. So now what I'm going to do is kind of replace the index. Now what this is doing is it's basically adding a navigation drawer to the top of the project. You'll see this in a minute. And then I'm going to go into the scripts and I'm going to replace the main view. Now in the main view, what you can see here is basically we're adding a claims view. And then we're also adding the burger link. How many of you guys have seen on mobile applications, there's often a menu bar at the top, and on the left, there's like those three little lines that is a navigation kind of folder. That's commonly called the burger. Have you guys ever heard that term? Because it kind of looks like, sandwich with maybe a little bit of tomato and lettuce and ham. So that's what we're going to add in this case. Now I know I have to rebuild in this context. For some reason, this always gets a little bit finicky in terms of adding new files at this step. And so I know that worked. Now I'm going to build to Ripple again. And we should see that the top has this navigation drawer that I just added. Okay, so now, and then I can add a new claim or sign out or whatever. So now what I'm going to do is to attempt to sign out. And you're going to see that I don't actually end up signing out. So there's my bug. I want to kind of show you guys the debugging capabilities now. So I'm going to go back to mainview.ts, and then I'm going to go to line 79. And I'm just going to set a breakpoint here. Let's set it right here. Now I'm going to go back to the app, and I'm going to, again, attempt to sign out. Now you see that I'm actually hitting a breakpoint in this context, even though this is WebKit, and you know this is a device that is not something that Microsoft normally targets. We actually have the core debugging capabilities kind of built in here. And in terms of what you can do here, we have all of the normal debugging experience that you're used to in Visual Studio. So we have the locals window with everything expandable. We have a great call stack, even have asynchronous call stacks in this context. We have the JavaScript console that you can use, and watch windows and all that kind of stuff. And of course, I can start to step through my application. So I just stepped, and I stepped again. Now looking at this ID, this is sign out menu item. And then if I continue to step, it looks like it didn't actually go to the case that I thought it would end up going to, the sign out menu item. So it's pretty clear that what I have in this case is a bug that I'm not using the proper casing. And so what I'm going to do is just stop here, and I'm going to change this to be sign out menu, save it again, and then redeploy. Now, what I have here is sign out, and we actually see that sign out worked in this context. So we actually have the debugging capabilities in this now, which is pretty cool. Okay, next thing what I'm going to do is create an Azure mobile service so that I can start to get some of the database creation for the claims that I'm going to author with my application. So I'm going to go to azure@microsoft.com. Let's see. Let's start an in-app browser, and let's go to azure.microsoft.com. So this is just the normal Azure portal, and I'm going to go to the portal, and I'm already logged in. Let me see if I need to sign out and sign in again with a different credential. Okay, now you see that this is my Amanda Silver Live on Microsoft.com account. Now this is the Azure portal. And then what I can do is just go to, you'll see that these are all of the services that I already have. I'm already using a bunch of mobile services, and I have some SQL databases that I've created as well. And then all I have to do to create a new mobile service is go to New, and then go to Create. And then I can just put in, you know, Woodgrove Claims Database, use an existing database. I can use my free trial, or I can use the rights that come with my Visual Studio Ultimate MSDN experience. And then go to Next, and I can choose, you know, which database I want to use. And then a login name, and then a password, so I can use Microsoft 123 or something like that, and click check. And then we see that this is creating that context. Now, if we look at one that's already created, because I don't want to, you know, the next thing you can do is basically go into the data tab and start to create your tables. And I've already done that. With the database app that I'm going to use in my application. So I'm going to go back to Visual Studio now, and I'm going to again invoke that create new service dialog, the connected service. And in this case, rather than using Office 365, I'm going to use the mobile services. I need to sign out and sign in with another account. And this time I'm going to use amandasilver.live.com. And you see that I actually have all of the databases that I've already created that are associated with the Azure mobile services in this context. So now I can just use the Woodgrove app, click OK. And then what this does is it's very similar to what the Office experience for the Office API is. What it did is it created the equivalent of a service.js, which again associates my client application with the service, so that when any query comes from this client application, it knows that it's that particular client application that's requesting this capability. And so this is basically, again, just associating this particular client application with that when it makes that service call. Now, rather than using this service.js, I've actually just incorporated it into some other code. So I'm not going to directly use this context. Let's go to step 5, create Zumo service. There's nothing that I got to do there. And then the next step is the claims list. So now all I need to do is to copy some of this context over. So again, I'm going to copy the index that'll allow me to create a new claim. And then I'm going to copy over the scripts. Now, this is just the main view again, so that I end up updating my my view so that it'll load the claims view, update the index so that it again loads the claims view, and then I'm going to upload claims, and I'll show you guys this in just a second. Now let's go to claims.ts and look at the ticket callout. So what this is doing is it's basically getting a client table. And now one of the things that's really cool about Azure Mobile Services is that you can actually, in addition to creating a database that's hosted in the cloud, that has all your data that's in the cloud, you can also create filter methods or methods that execute in the context of the cloud so that when you make a query, it just runs locally rather than getting all of the data and then you have to filter on your mobile device. So that's kind of, you know, we're all used to that in terms of SQL queries, but it's not always commonly supported in terms of NoSQL databases. So if you're using a NoSQL database, this is kind of a pretty cool thing. And in fact, this is what we're doing in this context, is we're basically defining a method here that does that filtering in my local mobile client application. So this is just the source is included in my mobile client application. But that JavaScript method is then basically kind of wrapped up in a closure and then passed to the cloud and operates on the data that's in that database to kind of get me back the queries that I'm looking for. So that's pretty cool. Next thing I'm going to try to do is to actually F5 to the Android device in this case, which should be attached. Now, let me see. Come on. There we are. And I know you guys can't see it yet. Let me switch screens. Let me first make sure that the output is coming. Now, you guys can see that. And then this one is input 7. So, deployment errors. Let me just reattach the device. Might have gone to sleep. Connected as a camera, you see that. And then it says USB debugging connected, you see that. Okay, let's try it one more time. So we are deploying to the device. Seems like it's installing on the device, which is pretty cool. And now you see that the app is actually loading in this context, and I can sign in. This, again, as I mentioned, brings me to a browser page, amandas@woodgroveclaims.onmicrosoft. Oops. Soft.com. And then my password. Now again, this is going to ask for permissions. You guys can see this. This is, again, asking for permissions to read my calendar information. I'm going to click OK. And then this sign-in should work. So we're at the same point that we were at before, but I have, you know, all of that same capability that I used to have. And in fact, if we go back to number 8, you can see that the DOM Explorer is actually connected here. So if I choose to select something, select this device here, now if I go to 7 again, and I click something here, and then click back here, you can actually see that it updated the DOM Explorer directly. So I didn't need to do that. This is all kind of automatically hooked up. So you get basically a kind of pretty, you know, rich and interactive development experience against this device, just as you would with a Windows device. Okay. So next thing I'm going to do, hopefully this will work, is create a new claim. Looks like I had hit a breakpoint because I set a breakpoint. Let's press play. And I'm going to, thank you. Let's search for a client. This should bring up all of the clients that are in my database, and then I can pick one and choose to assess them. Okay, new claim. All right, let's look at assigned ones. Okay, instead, we will, looks like that assess page isn't kind of filled out. So what we can see here is a submitted claim in this context. So, okay, now we will jump back here. It looks like the exception was thrown, so that's why it wasn't working. Okay, next thing we're going to do is, so the problem was, the reason that I couldn't take a picture in that context is, what I need to do is to go to the config file. So what you guys see here, this is basically the app manifest for Cordova projects. So this is kind of the common configuration for all of the device capabilities that are common to all of the devices that the Cordova project creates. Now, there's some basic application information that we surface here in this context, but there's also plugins. Now, the plugins that we have are very, very, very basic. But you can always create your own native plugin and include it in your config.xml file. So in this case, what I'm going to do is say that I can get access to the camera, I'm going to get access to dialogues, file system, geolocation, media capture, and press save. Now, that's kind of the, you know, WYSIWYG editor experience, but you can also view the code for this. Now, in terms of the code itself, this is basically how we, you know, say that we want to use a particular client capability. So this is using the in-app browser, Azure Mobile Services, as we talked about, camera, dialogues, file, geolocation, media, and media capture, just as I talked about before. Now, to keep your application really stable, you probably don't want to take a dependency on what the latest version of the plugin is. What the Cordova project does is, on build, it basically uses that plugin fetch to go and get the version of the plugin that is specified in your config.xml file. And so if you don't specify the version, then it will just get the latest. And while that might be great for you to test against the latest version of the plugin, it's not necessarily going to lead to the kind of most stable application. So what you want to do is actually specify the version number that you're going to end up taking dependency on. But this is also where, if you were going to write your own native plugin, let's say you were going to write it in C++, that does some kind of, you know, core barcode scanning or something like that for your own custom device, then you'd write that application, you'd basically expose that capability as a plugin to the Cordova project, and then you'd be able to reference it in this config.xml file and be able to use it in the context of your HTML app. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to show you guys is being able to monitor this app via Application Insights. So one of the things that we launched, I think, during the RTM of Visual Studio 2013 is the notion of Application Insights. How many of you guys have heard of that? Okay. So one of the things that I'm going to show you at the end is actually deploying to an iOS on the Mac as well. So there's definitely a bit more to kind of hold on to, but I just want to show you Application Insights real quick. So this is Woodgrove Claims. This is the application that I'm using in this context. And what I can do is go to usage, and I can look at all kinds of trends for my application. So I can look at users to see the trends of active users by day, I can look at the environment that they're operating under. So I can even look at, for example, the operating systems. So we see that this application is being used in the context across Android, iOS, Windows Phone, and Windows 8.1. I can look at the common screen resolutions. This is a little hard. There you go. Et cetera. And one of the things that I can also do is create my own custom, you know, events that I'm logging via Application Insights into my app. So I can go into the events, and I can scroll down here and look at things like login and see how many successful logins there were in my app. This is basically all done via a custom API in my app. I can look at, you know, different pages to see how many different times each of those pages were viewed, and I can even be able to log a custom metric in terms of how long it takes to, you know, create a new claim or to, you know, how many of those claims have been discarded and things like that. So I can really get some really rich insight in this context. Now let me show you how to use it in Visual Studio in my application. So the next thing I'm going to do, and this again was launched yesterday, I believe, I'm going to, in this case, manage a NuGet application. And I'm going to search for Application Insights Telemetry. And spell that right? No, that's my problem. Application Insights Telemetry. Come on, let's try it all. Okay, there we go. Let's see if it's down here. Well, when all else fails, you always have a fallback, right? So let's just search one more time. Let me try it one word. Okay, if this doesn't work, then I can always go to the fallback. So it should be showing up there, but I believe I have a web page for it. Well, it was included in that page that I just showed you, so you can certainly get the SDK this way. But then I also have the scripts up here. Now I have the fallback. And then what I can do is just, this is basically what would have been added via NuGet. And I go to add the index. Oops. And then I'm going to go ahead and add the scripts. Now this is the Application Insights script that was used here. This is in the context of the frameworks here, so I'm just going to copy this over. Now this is just a JavaScript framework for consuming the Application Insights, so I can use it in my application. And I copied over the index, so now I can go to the scripts and I can look at the claims, for example. And I can go to TechEd, call out. So what you see here is that what this is basically doing is it's calling the log edit finished. So this is kind of one of the workflows in my application, and I'm just basically logging how long it took for that to happen. And then I want to log that in Application Insights. So again, this is getting the call out this to the getting the call out to Zumo. And then the last thing I wanted to look at is the main view. So if I look at TechEd again, it should be here. Okay. Well, anyways, that's basically how I call the Application Insights in this context. So now I'm going to just rebuild. Now, the other thing I wanted to show you guys is how you can, once you've built this application, how you can deploy it via Intune, Windows Intune, to all of your devices, but still manage it in the context of you know, Windows Intune. So all I have to do here is, this is the Windows Intune system, and I've already logged in, and I can go to software, and I'm going to re-authenticate. I think I need to sign in with a different account. And I'm going to sign in with VS Client Demo at vsclient.onmicrosoft.com and 3. Ah, forgot the O. VS Client Demo at VS Client. Awesome. The demo goonies are certainly with me today, aren't they? Okay. Let me show you the last really cool thing that we've got going here, which is being able to launch this to iOS and actually be able to launch the server on your OS X, launch the simulator. So what I'm going to do now is just go to iOS. And instead, you know, again, I can launch to iOS devices in the context of Ripple or on a tethered device if I have a tethered device with me. Or I can even launch it to a simulator. Now, how I launch this to the simulator? The simulator has to run on a Mac, so we don't have a simulator running in the context of Windows. But let me show you how you set this up. So if you go into Tools Options here, and then if you go into the multi-device hybrid apps section of the properties pages, what you see here is iOS. And what I can do here is basically enable remote iOS processing. And what this allows me to do is to actually initiate not just launching to the simulator, but also doing a build on OS X that has all of your developer certs that are required to actually get an app that can be deployed via the App Store. So all of that kind of building has to happen on OS X, but you can launch it via Visual Studio if you kind of set this up properly. Now, this is just a host IP that I get. You know, this is some Mac on my network, so certainly doesn't have to be something that is absolutely devoted to this purpose, just used in the context when you need it to be used. Obviously, if you're going to run the simulator, then you're going to want to be able to see it in this context. But now what I can do is just hit F5, and if we go to the output, we can see that this is building, and then I can jump to input 5. And you can see that I've already initiated a term session that basically opened a port on my OS X that allows me to listen to build events that are coming in. And so what's happening is the build event is coming in into my OS X machine, and it's passing all of the context in this, you know, here, including building the app. And then it's initiating the app and being deployed to the iOS simulator. And then I can sign in this context. And again, this is Amanda S. at woodgroveclaims.onmicrosoft.com. And again, it's going to ask me for the permissions to be able to read my calendar. And I'm going to say OK. And it's going to populate the app, again, not getting the calendar information for whatever reason we had the bug previously. But you can see that, you know, this has all of the same capabilities that we talked about before. And I can even hit my my Azure mobile database in this context and look at that customer. And I can even do things like launch a media, and you know, I get a simulated version of the photo. I could take a new photo in this context if I wanted to. The location information, I again will get prompted to use the location information, but we see that this is, you know, using the location information for that particular claim in this context. And then I can review it. Scroll down. I have to use, this is one of the things that makes Windows devices so nice with the touch-enabled capability. When I'm running a simulator, I actually can just use my finger rather than having to use the reverse for the mouse. But and now I can do something like submit this, and you'll see that it's submitted. So we actually have this app running in that context. The last thing I'm going to show you is basically this same app. Let me switch over. Again, to that is input 7. I'm going to show you this same app running on an actual iPad device. Here we have Woodgrove Claims. And you can actually see that this is the claims actually kind of working in this context. And we even have, you know, responsive UI kind of already built in. This is basically just the same exact application. It's not no major change here to what we just built all together. So with this, you guys now have the ability to build apps using your existing skill sets with HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, and Visual Studio on Windows. You can now build apps for iOS, Android, and Windows devices. And I'm just going to kind of jump back to slides real quick. In terms of create new, so yes, we have the new JavaScript templates and the TypeScript templates. We also have those samples in those three UI stacks building these to-do MVC capabilities. I showed you guys the managed device capabilities. This is basically the config editing experience. And you can also create your own custom plugins. And I also showed you connecting your apps with services. I showed you how to connect to Office 365, the Azure Mobile Services, and Application Insights. And then in terms of building, you know, this is just using the normal Cordova CLI. And it's you can use the same build process that you're used to in Visual Studio and have a quick iterative loop. And then you can also do a remote build and even a launch to the simulator for an in-network OS X, and even launch to a device for all three of the different app platforms. And then in terms of debugging and diagnosing, we can hit breakpoints, you get locals, you get watch windows, call stacks, everything that you guys are used to, all of the same experiences that you have in Visual Studio today, you can now get in this context. Now, one of the things is, you know, the DOM inspection works for all Android devices and even iOS But debugging only works for Android 4.4 plus right now. So that's kind of one thing if you're going against a device that's Android 4.4 plus, or 4.4 minus, I guess. And then we also have TypeScript source mapping. So one of the things that's, you know, involved here is it's obviously when TypeScript is running, we need to map the TypeScript that's running to the JavaScript that's actually executing on the machine. So you can set breakpoints and you can do call stack inspection and all that kind of stuff in the context of TypeScript, not in the context of the JavaScript that ends up getting compiled to. And now you can basically use additional targets. And then in terms of publishing and managing, you know, I wasn't able to show it to you, but definitely think about deploying via Windows Intune. And then you can also deploy via iTunes for a local device if that's what you need to do. And then you can monitor the app via Application Insights to look at things like what kind of operating systems are they running on, what are the different form factors that they're using, and then also write your own custom events that end up getting logged in Application Insights as well. So, you know, I think the main message of this is, you know, you guys are ready. I know that I've heard a lot from a lot of customers that iOS, Android kind of brings some, you know, a little bit of anxiety that this is a new platform that you have to target. But the point of this is, you know, with this CTP, which we will continue to develop over the summer and into the fall, you guys really should be ready to develop for the breadth of devices that are in your business. So that's it. Thanks.